हरे कृष्णा।
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
श्री राधा गिरिधारी भगवान की, श्री जगन्नाथ बलदेव सुभद्रा माई की, श्री श्री गौर निताई की, जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की, श्री वृंदावन धाम की, श्री नवद्वीप मायापुर धाम की, हरे कृष्ण महामंत्र की निताई गौर प्रेमानंदी। सो थैंक यू एवरीबडी फॉर कमिंग फॉर दिस प्रोग्राम। It's so wonderful to see our children playing mridanga. If this culture is available from childhood, whole life will be successful. What is planted at this time of the age as habits and likings and tastes will suffice to deliver the whole life. And this is what our Srila dear Srila Prabhupada's mercy, because he has given us the culture. When he was very small, he would regularly dream of going to Jagannath Puri. He was staying in, I think it's okay. You are okay, able to hear everybody? So, in childhood he would dream of going to Jagannath Puri every day. I mean not every day, regularly. And his father also had given that beautiful culture. How? Every time little Abhay will wake up hearing the ringing bells of Mangal Aarti at home. Stay in the bed only, watch all the Aarti and then get up. And his father, Gaur Mohan Day, was such a wonderful pure devotee of the Lord that he provided every single facility for making the child Krishna conscious. For example, he would make a small Ratyatra cart for Abhay. And on Ratyatra times, Abhay would arrange a nice festival. He would, as if he was a leader of the festival, he would pull the cart and there would be offerings and decorations and beautiful childhood memories for Prabhupada. And then when he became young, he also would regularly look for the train timetable from Bengal, Kolkata to Jagannath Puri. Today also if you want to go through Kolkata to Jagannath Puri, the overnight train is available. We have travelled by the train many times, both ways. And in those days, the ticket would be 4 rupees to 5 rupees for overnight journey. And he would always dream, when will I go? When will I actually board the train and go to Jagannath Puri? And surprisingly and coincidentally, when he was 24 year old, the first time he went to Jagannath Puri. And he would tell others very proudly that even Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to Jagannath Puri when he was 24 year old. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas and he went from Navadvip to Jagannath Puri at the age of 24. And we all should be very happy to know, most of you must be knowing also, that the first deity Srila Prabhupada established in the Western world as a temple was Jagannath Baldev Subhadra. And he established these deities in San Francisco and named that city as New Jagannath Puri, at least the temple. I must tell you the story in short at least. I think it was Malati Mataji who went to one mall and picked up one doll. She liked the doll very much. And there was a big basket, having many such dolls. And she picked up one and brought to Prabhupada. You know, everything in those days, Prabhupada was everything for them. Whatever they would do, they would tell Prabhupada. When they could do good or do any so-called nonsense things or whatever, they would connect to Prabhupada. So now you can say, for them it was a toy. What is there to show Prabhupada? Prabhupada is a sannyasi. Why they should bring a toy to Prabhupada to show Prabhupada today we bought a toy. But they brought. and they put on the table of Prabhupada, and Prabhupada, to their great surprise, got up from his seat and offered Dandavat Pranam to that doll. And they were so surprised, what is that doll all about? So Prabhupada asked, were there any more of such kind? Then she remembered, yes, yes, Prabhupada, there were two more baskets, big baskets were there, and two different mini numbers were there, each one type in one basket. She said, please go and get those also. So she rushed back. In fact, she had stolen that first deity, whatever, first idol. She went and officially asked. And she said, my Guru Maharaj is asking whether there are two more. So they said, yes. And then she picked up one and the second one. The one she got before was black in color. The one she brought later on were yellow and white in color. And she brought and put in front of Prabhupada, and Prabhupada again offered Dandavat Pranam. And then they asked, what is it? So Prabhupada said, this is the Supreme Lord. Lord Jagannath, Baladev and Subhadra. They are brothers and sisters. So that time they understood it was not a toy. The Supreme Lord. And that time, Prabhupada got a very deep desire in the heart. And also he could correlate, because the last prayer that he had offered was to Lord Jagannath in Jagannath Puri before he left India. He was begging Lord Jagannath for his mercy. And then he went, and the first darshan he had of the Lord, of something like Lord, was of Lord Jagannath in San Francisco. So then he called Shamsundar Prabhu and told him that, can you make wooden carving deity like this, proportionately bigger, he showed some size, which must be about 5 feet, could be 4 to 5 feet. But he wanted a proportionate deity. So Shamsundarji kept those three things, small tolls, and started carving big logs of wood. And in those days, the way devotees were, they were not yet devotees as such, you know. So Shamsundar Prabhu would smoke and carve the deities. Sometimes we have big artists and also they smoke and they do the artistic work. And the half-lit, half-smoked cigarette, he would put on the so-called top of the being carved deity. And one day Prabhupada came in the Prayogshala and he saw the cigarette half burnt on the top of the one deity which he was carving. So he told him that this is separating you from the Lord. If this you give up, the Lord will be available to you. And you don't know that where are you putting this particular cigarette. So that is how Prabhupada had to train them. They didn't know. Like when Yamuna Mataji came to cook for her sister's, Jane's wedding, she didn't know that we should not walk with chappal in the kitchen, or we should wash hands and assist in the cooking. So many things they didn't know. Because in the Western world today also, you walk in every room with shoes and everything, and sometimes we slip with shoes also. This is the Western culture. So you had to train them with everything. And then those deities were established in San Francisco, in the temple which he established there. And the first Rath Yatra was organized in San Francisco. And that time the mayor of the city, the government, kept the city closed. And the whole road was also closed. And whole day celebration was there. Even today the same thing goes on. So you can imagine the way Lord Jagannath made his entry in Western world. You see, we say that behind Srila Prabhupada, Jagannath also came. Wherever he went. So it's our great pride to know that it was Lord Jagannath who actually made his entry first as deity in the Western world in the ISKCON temple. So this is the brief history, and that's how in small things like wearing dhoti and wearing saris and wearing tilak and shaving head and putting tilaks and so many small things Prabhupada had to teach them. And that's how today we have International Society of Krishna Consciousness, having 660 centers all over the world with farmhouses and communities and cow protection and restaurants, and it's unimaginable from where it began actually. So very proud to know that it was Lord Jagannath who made first entry in the ISKCON temple as a deity. So today we are trying to prepare ourselves to be in Jagannath Bhagwan consciousness. Because next few days are going to be studded with the mercy of Lord Jagannath. And unless and until we are fully prepared in our consciousness, we will not be able to gather the maximum possible mercy that is available in next few days. Actually, Jagannath season has begun from Jyeshtha Purnima. What are the date this year? Snan Yatra date? 17 June. Okay. That is the day when Lord appeared in this world. I'll tell the story to you also. Is the clock counting? So that is the day Lord Jagannath took bath, public bath. And then that season has begun. And if you go much behind, the season has begun on which day? Akshaya Tritiya day. How? On that day, the making of the cart of the Jagannath for Rath Yatra has started. That is the day when the thing started. It takes 3.5 months. And it was 7th May. Around May, June and July. Around 2 months and few days more. Every year it starts on that day. So if you go on Jagannath, go to Jagannath Puri from Akshaya Tritiya day, you will find Jagannath Puri is buzzing with enthusiasm and spiritual vibration, happiness and festivities and the mood. Everything is so happy. Sometimes we are not able to gather or perceive that kind of spiritual vibration in the whole city or a country. But you go to Jagannath Puri in this time, you'll understand. You go to Jagannath Vrindavan in Kartik, you'll understand. What is the meaning of happiness in the whole city? Everybody is buzzing, you know, bubbling with happiness. So it culminates into then Rath Yatra. It culminates into then Snan Yatra first, then 15 days, then Netrotsav, then Rath Yatra. Then there is aura of things. Let us enumerate. Rath Yatra, cart making begins on Akshaya Tritiya. Jyeshtha Purnima, there is Snan Yatra. Then there is Anavasara period for 15 days. Then there is Netrotsav on Ashada Shuddha Pratipada. Then Netrotsav, the Lord is dressed up and he embraces everybody. He used to before, not now. And then on Ashada Dvitiya, he comes out on Rath Yatra. If he reaches on same day, fine. Otherwise, next day he reaches to Gundicha. Then 9 days he stays in Adapa Darshan. He gives Adapa Darshan. That means he stays in Gundicha. Vrindavan Vas, Gupta Vrindavan Vas. And then there is Bahuda Yatra on Ekadashi day. That is what we celebrate was Pandharpur Ekadashi, same day the Lord returns. In between there is Hera Panchami. Lakshmi Devi goes and meets the Lord, comes back again. The Lord comes back on Bahuda. Then Lakshmi Devi comes and objects him to come inside. And then there is Shunavesh. And then Lord gets decorated in Shunavesh and then he goes inside the temple. That's how so many days of festivities. And lakhs and lakhs and lakhs of people, they come. Without any invitation to enjoy this beautiful pastime of the Lord. So let's go to the story. How the Lord appeared. Actually, everything about Lord Jagannath is amazing. Nothing is straightforward. You see him, he doesn't look normal. He has no palms, he has no legs. His face is very unusual, flat. He's smiling from starting from 1 year to another year. And then Subhadra, you see no hands and no feet also. Big smile, big eyes. Then Balabhadra also, no legs, big belly and stretched hands and no palms. And big smiling face. And Chakra, instead of having circular appearance, he has the appearance of a pillar. Huh? Very unusual. So it is Lord to tell people when Jagannath Ji's are established. When Lord Jagannath is established. It's an opportunity for us to start our discussion with people. First they will ask, why is this? Who is this, first of all? And why is the Lord looking like this? So this is a long story, beautiful story. We all know that Lord enjoyed his pastimes in Vrindavan for, some people say, about 11 years, 52 days. Some say 10 years, 4 months. Doesn't matter. Something like that. Around 10% of his life on earth, he stayed in Vrindavan, exchanging very intimate, madhurya, loving relationship with his dearmost devotees, special devotees, precious devotees, rare devotees of Vrindavan. And he did so many things which are unparalleled by any other incarnation of the Lord. What he performed in Vrindavan is not, you know, comparable to anything what Lord did when he came as Narasimha Bhagavan, Vamandev, or Matsya Kurma, whatever you say. Very unusual. Of course, we'll not go into that. But there were most intimate and deep connections between his devotees, which manifested in the form of pastimes. And then at one point of time, it is said when the Vrijavasis attained ultimate heights or perfections of loving relationship with one-to-one contact, the Lord wanted to graduate them into the higher level of loving devotional understanding. So he left. Before that, he would be one Krishna and there would be so many devotees. Only that sometimes, like Rasleela, he multiplied into so many forms that each gopis interacted. But mostly he was one and there were many. But when he left, he entered in each Brijvasi's heart in bhava form. And he left all his madhurya and loving aspect of his personality in Vrindavan only, in the form of bhava rupa, in the heart of each and every Brijvasi. And with Aishwarya angle of his personality, he left to Mathura. And then he went to Dwarka. And then he went to Hastinapur. And so many pastimes he did for around almost 100 years, more than 100 years. So, there was one common personality who was there in Braj also, who was there in Mathura also, Dwarka also, Hastinapur also. Wherever the Lord went, there was Rohini Devi, the mother of Balramji Maharaj, Balram Bhagwan. Because when she was pregnant, there was a danger from Kamsa, so Vasudev, her husband, for safety reasons, put her to his friend's house, Nanda Maharaj. So Balramji was born in Nandagaon, in Gokul, and then went to Nandagaon. And then when Vasudev was released, Kamsa was killed, Rohini was brought back. Krishna went to Mathura, Rohini came back, united with her husband. Krishna Balram stayed in Mathura, then went to Ujjain, and then went to Dwarka, established Dwarka. Many days passed. Then Krishna got married, and he had 16,108 queens. And they had all heard about Krishna right from their childhood. It's not that Krishna was not famous. Krishna lifted Govardhan when he was 7. Krishna stole Gopi's clothes, and Krishna stole makhan from gopis' houses, and he did so many wonderful pastimes that it was all over the universe, it was famous. So when these ladies were finally became Krishna's wives, when they were small toddlers and girls, they always used to hear about Krishna. And many of them also dreamt that, oh, Krishna would be my husband, I want to marry him. And finally they got married with him. But they were not the participants of the actual happenings in Vrindavan. They were only getting broadcasted messages. So when they married Krishna, they met Rohini, their mother-in-law. They said, mother-in-law, please, we want to hear from you. Because you are the first-hand witness. And there was one more great personality, Krishna's mother, Devaki. She also was hankering to hear from mother Rohini. Because she was somehow not able to nurse Krishna when he was baby. Only one time she fed Krishna, breast milk, and Krishna went away. And she could not even see him toddling, talking broken language and helping him to walk. Nothing, all that beautiful childhood pastimes. Rohini was a witness. Yashoda was the first-hand participant. And Rohini was a witness in this whole loving pastime. So they wanted to hear from her. But Rohini would say that if you want to hear from me, I would tell you all the pastimes. What is the one difficulty? Moment Krishna Balram hear their own pastimes, they will like to go to Vrindavan, and once they go to Vrindavan, we don't know whether they'll come back or not. It is the weak point. It's weakness. And wherever there is pastimes of Vrindavan are narrated by anybody, that is where they are attracted to and they come there. And if somebody continues in front of their presence, then they will be too much overwhelmed with their attraction and memory of their childhood place, and they would just call Daruka, their driver of chariot, and the chariot will go, both of them go to Vrindavan, and once they go to Vrindavan, nobody can tell when they'll come back. So what do you want? You want your stories of your husband, or you want your husband? So they would somehow contain themselves. But you know, the urge to hear about their husband's childhood pastimes in Vrindavan was growing day by day. And every time they would agree, but every time it would grow further. When something which you love you get every day, you don't have such value. But if you something which you love is denied or not available, then you become more eager and more eager and more eager. So that way, many times discussion took place, and one day they were said, no, we have to hear, there has to be a way where we can control Krishna by not coming in when we are being hearing the narrations, and also we can hear the narrations and prevent him from coming, and if he comes, how to tackle with, there must be a solution. So they only came up with one solution. They said, we will go to one palace, close all the windows and all the doors, and only one door will be there, and that one door we will keep Subhadra. And as you told that Krishna Balaram will come, we will tell Subhadra, your job is to stand at the gate and look in the horizon. If any trace of Krishna's and Balaram's top of the crown is seen anywhere from long distance, you just knock and we'll immediately run away from this place as if nothing is happening here. Such a big assurance they created in their own solution. So all the queens were nicely seated in the audience. Subhadra, Rohini Mata was in the Vyasasan like that, and Devaki was in a respectable position to hear because she was also very eager to hear, and Subhadra was at the door. And Subhadra, naturally, so many queens are eager to hear. Is she not interested to hear? She was not born in Brajbhumi. She was born later to Vasudev. So she wanted to also hear, but she was put outside, so she put her ear on the door. And with full assurance that we will be able to catch Krishna Balaram if they come and tackle them and do the needful, go away as if nothing has happened. So they are fully assured. And they started hearing the story from the lotus mouth of Rohini. And as Rohini started, you can imagine, if someone like us, we describe, it's like a theoretical understanding. But someone who is a pure devotee in Madhurya Vatsalyaras, stayed in Vrindavan, she is supposed to be the number two in the Vatsalya affection list of devotees. First is Yashoda, second is Rohini, and third is Nanda Maharaj. Sorry, Nanda Maharaj is not third. Even the Brajvasi ladies are third, elderly ladies, and fourth is Nanda Maharaj. And then comes Devaki, then comes Vasudev, and then comes Kunti, like that. So you can imagine the one who has most pure love for Krishna, and she was witness of all that. And if she is narrating, what kind of engrossment and overwhelming situation this she must have created. So when she began, everybody just lost their existence in the sense of awareness of their being. They just became completely spiritual beings drinking the divine nectar from the lotus mouth of Rohini. And she went on narrating as Krishna was born, and she toddled, and he was taken to Nandagaon, then he grew up and he lifted Govardhan. As and when things were happening, there were ecstatic symptoms in all the queens. They were experiencing tears and hair standing on the end and getting trembling feelings, everything was through. They were not aware what's happening because they were assured. And soon enough, Subhadra was hearing, she got all those transformations within her body. And at one point of time, she reached her peak of emotions. And her body was such transformed that her hands and legs went inside, came out, became elongated. Her eyes became very big. She had a big smile. Again, perspiration, hair standing on end. All things happened. Finally, the arms and legs went inside. She became like a bundle with big eyes open and smile, and she fell unconscious. When she attained her highest overwhelming emotions of love, on only hearing, but that hearing was visualizing also. There was such power in those narrations that she was already there in the past time, although she was not there when it happened. So she became unconscious. Narrations continued. She kept on hearing in that condition also. And soon enough, whenever there is narrations of Krishna Balaram's Vrindavan pastimes, Krishna Balaram did appear there. And they saw the amazing transformation in Subhadra. And they were wondering what must have happened. So they saw the door is locked. Something must be going on inside. They put their ears standing on the both sides of Subhadra Devi. And they started hearing their own pastimes. And there's a beautiful description. We cannot go in detail of that. But as and when the kind of pastime was being narrated inside, those kind of transformations started taking place in the body of Krishna and Balaram. When Ras Lila was being described, something else was happening. When Govardhan Lila was happening, something else was happening. When demon killing was happening, something else was happening. But mostly the sweet pastimes, apart from demon killing pastimes, they created a lot of overwhelming emotions in Krishna and Balram. And Krishna attained Mahabhav. Mahabhav is supposed to be the combination of 8 loving sentiments, 8 different kind of loving sentiments, including anger, including separation, including all kinds of things. When that was attained, the inside story was also at the peak. The queens were completely in ecstasy. Devaki was completely in ecstasy. Rohini was in ecstasy telling the story. And then when they reached their peak, their final stage was, Mahabhav stage was, a big smile, big open eyes with redness inside, and hands straight, and the palms gone inside, legs completely gone inside, body became like a bundle, and they fell down next to Subhadra Devi on each side. Chakra was also with them. But what happened to Chakra? What you see him today, what that happened to him also? Because Krishna is in Aishwarya Bhav in Dwarka. So wherever he goes, Chakra also accompanies. At that time, when this happened, I must tell you something, a glimpse what happened inside. When that peak experience happened outside, one person already fallen, other 2 persons also fell down. And no one knew what's happening. Everybody's completely engrossed. And suddenly, Krishna Balaram babies appeared in the assembly inside the hall inside, where the story was going on. And as soon as baby Krishna and Balaram appeared, you know, in almost naked form, with butter in the hand, and very sweet toddling walk, Devaki fell unconscious. He said, rivers of milk flowed from her breast. And with overwhelming motherly affection, looking at the beautiful toddling children, Krishna Balaram, she shed rivers of breast milk and she fell unconscious. And those deities are Udupi Krishna deities. That deity of Krishna is in Udupi, as Udupi Krishna. And Balaramji is standing at the ocean of Malpe Beach called Vadabandeshwara. So this is how connected relationships are there between Udupi and Jagannath Puri. And when that particular form was there at the doorstep and things were going on inside in ecstasy, Narad Muni was traveling in air and he saw the wonderful forms of the Lord. He came down. And Narad Muni is a very loving devotee of the Lord. He has got such love for the Lord. He got darshan in previous life only for a moment and then Lord disappeared and he was hankering. That hankering gave him such purification that he became Narad Muni in next life, filled with love for the Lord. So it's not that he is trying to attain love by doing sadhana and struggling to maintain his senses and control his senses. He was already in complete Shuddha Prema experience of the Lord. But amazingly, he saw that those beautiful forms of Krishna, Balaram and Subhadra, and he experienced within himself some different kind of love which he had not even experienced before himself. So he was amazed. As a lover of the Lord, who always experienced love filled in his heart, to experience the unusual kind of love which he had never experienced before. So he came down, he was wondering, looking at the form of the Lord and really overwhelmed with the love. But see, the difference between us and sadhus are, when we enjoy, we only think of ourselves and we get engrossed. But when sadhus enjoy, or when they relish some spiritual bliss, they always remember you and me, all the people in the world who are suffering birth, old age, disease and death. So he contained his ecstasy, he contained his overwhelming, enjoying experience and still compassionately remembered all the suffering conditioned souls in the material world and touched the Lord, and when he touched the Lord came back in his original form, the way he had come to see what is happening. So his all hands came out, his palms came out, his smile, everything became normalized, and Subhadra also became normalized. They all stood up. And Narad Muni very humbly begged to the Lord, "My Lord, I today experience unusual love looking at this most unusual forms of yours. I don't know how they have happened. But I have one request to you, my Lord. If I, just by seeing these beautiful forms, have experienced unbelievable, overwhelming loving experience, new experience, I want you to come in the same form in the material world. So that these people who are suffering in the material world, separated from you, suffering birth and old age, disease and death, they will just see you and develop the same kind of love which I have experienced by seeing you." And Lord said, "Tathastu." So this is actual reason why the Lord has appeared in Jagannath Puri. Every single thing that is available to us in the material world, as spiritual, as kalyanakari, as welfare, spiritual welfare is always, always, always by the mercy of some pure devotee of the Lord. If Narad Muni was not there, if Narad Muni would have enjoyed his overwhelming experience, offered his dandavats and stuti to the Lord, and Lord would have come back and gone back to his work, Narad Muni would have gone to his work, Lord Jagannath would not have appeared. It was a timely request of Narad Muni. It was his presence of mind and overwhelming compassion than his own experience of love. His compassion actually is higher than his love for the Lord. And because of that, Lord accepted and he appeared. So the story goes like this. This is the, preparing scene, why Jagannath came. Now, how he made entry in the material world? The story goes like, next one. In Skanda Puran, there is something called as Sri Purushottam Kshetra Mahatmya. That Adhyaya is there. And in that, Jagannath Puri Mahatmya is explained. Before I go to the story of Lord Jagannath's appearance, actually in the material world, I'll tell you the Mahatmya. There are four dhams. One is Badrinath, where Lord is taking a form of meditation. Second is Dwarka, where Lord performs Rajaniti, Rajadharma. And third is Srirangam, where Lord goes to sleep. And fourth is Jagannath Puri. When Lord wants to eat, he goes to Jagannath Puri. Then it is said that in Navadvip, when we go, by doing Sankirtan, we achieve Krishna Prem. In Vrindavan, we go, when we roll in the dust of Vrindavan, we develop Krishna Prem. By understanding the glory of the dust of Vrindavan. And in Jagannath Puri, simply by honoring the prasad of Lord and simply by seeing the Lord, we develop Krishna Prem. That is the glory of Jagannath Puri. Lord Vishnu has four weapons, Shankha Chakra Padma Gada, and all three are represented in the area of Jagannath Puri. Jagannath Puri itself is Shankha Kshetra, representing Shankha. Bhuvaneshwari Chakra Kshetra. And Konark is Padma Kshetra. And Jajpur is Gada Kshetra. These are very close by in Orissa area. Jagannath Puri has awe and reverence and power and grandeur of Dwarka and Kurukshetra. The Lord is in full of His glory, of His opulence, grandeur and reverence. He is the Lord of Dwarka, but is staying in Puri in separation of Sri Vrindavan Dham. That means He is Aishwarya Sampanna, Aishwarya Purna Lord, but in complete separation bhav from Vrindavan Madhurya and staying in Puri. This is a unique nature of Jagannath Puri. Jagannath Puri is known by many names. At least we should recite these names. It is also known as Vipralamba Kshetra, where Lord is experiencing Vipralamba, separation. It is known as Sri Kshetra. Shri means Lakshmi Devi. It's also her dham. It is known as Purushottam Kshetra, Shankha Kshetra, Jagannath Puri, Nilachal Dham, Bhu Vaikuntha, Narasimha Kshetra, because Narasimha Bhagavan appeared there, Bhu Swarga, Jamanika Tirtha, Martya Vaikuntha, Uchishta Kshetra, that means it is also famous for Prasad of the Lord. Uddiyana Peet, Kushakstali, Bhima Kshetra, and lastly, Dashavatara Stotra. It's very interesting to know that all the personalities who are enlisted in Dashavatar, they appear in Jagannath Puri, and from there they proceed to actually appear from the womb of somebody. So Jagannath Puri Kshetra is also origin for all the Dashavatars. Another item of glory of Jagannath Puri is, how do we get liberated by getting connected with Jagannath Puri? The highest is darshan, by looking at Jagannath. Second is by taking Mahaprasad of Jagannath. And third is by remembering Jagannath Puri, by performing yatra in Jagannath Puri, by performing sankirtan in Jagannath Puri, by staying in Jagannath Puri, and lastly, by dying in Jagannath Puri. One will attain complete liberation and love of Godhead. Vedavyas says in Padma Puran that simply touching Jagannath Puri, that means entering in Jagannath Puri, assures one of liberation. Krishna tells Lord Shiva, sleeping in Jagannath Puri is equal to yoga nidra. Lying down is offering dandavats. Wandering here and there is doing parikrama of Vaikuntha and all the holy spiritual planets. Just by going here and there, even if you go to Anand Bazar also is fine. Every word spoken in Jagannath Puri when we are there are considered and accepted as prayers to Lord Krishna. Yamaraj has no role to play in Jagannath Puri. He does bhajan there. He goes to do his performing his bhajan. And there are many Puranas who are describing the glory of Jagannath Puri. To name a few, Agni Puran, Brahma Puran, Garuda Puran, Narad Puran, and main are Padma Puran and Skanda Puran, and also Matsya Puran. One slok we must recite. You please recite after me. Aho Tat Kshetra Mahatmyam Gardapo Api Chaturbhujaha Yatra Pravesha Matrena Nakasyapi Punarbhavaha. Now I will recite. Aho Tat Kshetra Mahatmyam Gardapo Api Chaturbhujaha Yatra Pravesha Matrena Nakasyapi Punarbhavaha. This is not in any of the Puran. This is written by Sanatana Goswami in Brihad Bhagavatamrita. What he says, the glory of Jagannath Puri, Purushottam Kshetra, is such that even donkeys are seen as four-armed liberated entities by demigods when they see them taking birth and moving around in Jagannath Puri. Yatra Pravesha Matrena, by simply entering Jagannath Puri, the living entity, you and me, will never take birth again. Nakasyapi punarbhavaha. There is no question of taking birth again. See the glory of Jagannath Puri. By mercy of Narad Muni, all that is cumbersome, troublesome, difficult, impossible to attain has been made into very easy thing by the Lord. Especially for Kali Yuga people. Once in lifetime we have to go to Jagannath Puri and take darshan of the Lord with great love and affection in the heart. With full appreciation and devotion in the heart. Offer ourselves at the feet of Lord Jagannath. Pray to him. That darshan itself will qualify us to go back to Godhead. And after that, accept the Mahaprasad of Lord Jagannath. So here in Skanda Puran, the story goes like this. Jaimini Rishi is in the assembly of sages. He is sitting there and addressing all the sages in the holy place planetary system, that is earthly planetary system. And he is describing about how Karana Udakashai Vishnu is creating the whole creation. That is called as primary creation, that is called as Sarga in Sanskrit language. Sarga means the Mahavishnu looks at the elements of material world, at the material which is inactive, he looks at them. It's called Drishtipat. When he looks at that, all the material elements, they get activated. And when they get activated, there is a creation. And in that primary creation which has taken place, that means he, you know, exhales from his nose, from all his pores of body, in the bija form, all the universes come out. And then he glances upon them, then they get activated. And then Brahma is born, and then Brahma starts the secondary creation. By the power and mercy of the Lord, Lord Brahma creates. When Brahma completes his creation, that is called Upasarga. Sarga and Upasarga. When he completes his creation with all living entities and planets and everything, at the beginning of that, he also has received Chatushloki Bhagavatam knowledge from Lord Vishnu in the heart, with not only knowledge, with complete realization of the reality. So what happens to him? He comes to know this material world which I am creating, so many millions of trillions of living entities I am creating, it is actually a suffering place of birth, old age, disease and death, and Adi Daivika, Adi Bhautika, Adi Atmika, so many times of troubles, filled with troubles. So he felt very compassionate, and he also became very morose, and he started meditating. Is there a place in the world where all these suffering souls can be relieved of their sufferings? Is there a place where they can be forgiven or they can be taken back? Is there a route by which I can guide them? And out of compassion he was crying and he was searching. Then he was given knowledge within that there is a place called Shankha Kshetra, Purushottam Kshetra, where Lord is residing as Neela Madhava. And just by merely taking his darshan, one will go back to Godhead, getting relieved from all the birth and old age and disease and death. So Brahma kept on searching in his whole creation, because he was not the creator of this creation which he was searching. Sri Kshetra, Purushottam Kshetra, Shankha Kshetra was not amongst the one which he has created. So he himself had to search. Then he came to the place called Shankha Kshetra and he got darshan of Lakshmi Devi and Neela Madhava. He worshipped them with great devotion. And he was standing there after his worship. Lakshmi Devi was looking at him. And even Yamraj accompanied Brahma. And he was also standing there and watching the beautiful darshan, feeling great bliss of having darshan of the Lord. And suddenly, when Lord was standing, he was standing on the little hillock called Nilachala, blue mountain, Nila Parvat. On that, Lakshmi Devi and Nila Madhav were standing, and there was a big tree on the mountain, and there was a nice, beautiful lake, very beautiful transcendental lake. And a crow came flowing, went to drink the water, touched the water with his beak, and suddenly, after touching the beak with the water of Rohini Kunda, he assumed four-armed Vaikuntha form. Immediately, Garuda came, lifted that soul, who was crow before, now Chaturbhuj Vaikuntha Vasi, and in front of the eyes of Brahma and Yamraj, he took him to Vaikuntha. Isn't it amazing? You are on some other job, but suddenly this amazing happening. So Yamraj became very bewildered. Yamraj immediately put a question to Lakshmi Devi. Mother Lakshmi, if such a lowly yoni, such a lowly creature, a lowly species like crow, gets delivered with a simple activity of touching this pond, then what is my work? What I will do? What is the use of the laws that you have put up? That if you do this, then Yamraj, you have to punish them like this in Yamloka and do this and do that. There are 50, hundreds of rules and regulations, and Yamraj is acting on that very meticulous in different 27 kinds of hellish situations. So what is the use of my position and my service? Have I lost my service? So Lakshmi Devi made a very simple statement. This is not the jurisdiction of your service. You are out of place here. This is not the place where you are supposed to be authority of death. This is Shankha Kshetra. This is our home. So Yamraj felt very happy. At least there is some place where I am out of job. I can take leave. So Yamraj actually created a nice garden and sat for meditation. And that was called as Yameshwar Mahadev. Then the Lakshmi Devi goes on telling. Lakshmi Devi told, you, Brahma and you or any other demigod, they have no authority or no position over here. They can come here as my children and live here and be happy in our dham. Then Lakshmi Devi went on telling the story of Markandeya Muni. It was a long story. Markandeya Muni was a great sage. He pleased the Lord and got the benediction of living for 7 kalpas. One kalpa is 43,20,000 years. That is the day of Brahma. Then there is night of Brahma of the similar number of years. So how many? 86,40,000 years into 7 number of years he got the boon to live. And he didn't know what it actually mean. When one kalpa ended, the pralaya began. And there was a torrential rain, and the earth had kilometers of water collected over earth, and still it was raining and raining and raining. It was severely freezing cold, and there was no food to eat because all the food items on the earth was destroyed. Every living entity was destroyed. So there was no food for him, but he was supposed to live because he had a boon. So he was suffering from hunger for trillions of years, actually. So I was wondering, why ask this boon? So we have to also understand when we ask boon, what is the result of that boon, what is actually happening with the boon, and what I will be going through. But he didn't imagine what will happen. And he was suffering. Suddenly he saw a big tree, a nice Kalpavruksha tree. And it has nice beautiful leaves. And on one of the leaves, he saw a beautiful baby lying on the leaf in the middle of the torrential stormy situation with waves coming up and down. It's cold and thunders coming up, but very peacefully sitting on the leaf and sucking his own toe off his foot. Not hand thumb sucking. Very peacefully. And he was wondering, it is said that as soon as he saw the baby, all his exhaustion and fatigue vanished. He became fully energetic, he became fully blissful from the miserable situation, and he started wondering and watching. While he was watching, the baby took inhalation, breathed inside, and he was sucked in the nostril of the baby, and he was transferred to the belly of the baby. It is said, 100 celestial years he lived in the belly of the baby. And he visited all the creation of the Lord, all different 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 Vaikuntha planets, different different material worlds, and all kinds of variety of situations he experienced, and he was very blissful. And then the baby exhaled, and again Markandeya Muni was exhaled out, and that time the baby spoke. He was so blissful actually through experience, and he said, "This is my Jagannath Puri. This is my Sri Purushottam Kshetra. This is where I live eternally. You can also reside here only and live your life very happily." So in the blissful memory of that child, Markandeya Muni stayed on that island. That time island, afterwards it became a part of the creation again. But now when the destruction takes place, that particular place doesn't get destroyed because it's eternal place, Lord's eternal dham. So he meditated on that dham, and he was so much in bliss that Lord Shiva got attracted to him. And he came to give darshan. But Markandeya Muni was completely transcendentally overwhelmed in the memory of that baby on which he was, on whom he was meditating. So then Lord Shiva had to give him darshan. The Lord entered in his heart and gave him darshan within the heart. Then Markandeya Muni opened his eyes, and Lord was standing in front of him, Lord Shankara. Then he worshipped him also, and he established a linga, which is called as Markandeshwar Mahadev, which is one of the five Pancha Shivas, which are most important in Jagannath Puri. And there is a sarovar which he created, where he meditated, which is called the Markandeya Sarovar. It is also one of the five tirthas, important tirthas of Jagannath Puri Dham. First one is Markandeyeshwar Sarovar, Markandeya Sarovar. So the second story, then Lakshmi Devi continued. Lord Krishna glorified to, Lord Krishna informed Markandeya, "This island is Purushottam Kshetra. You can stay here. It is not disturbed in pralay times." And then Lord Shiva came in his three-eyed, ten-armed form. This is one thing I missed out. Then Lakshmi continued. She started telling how Lord appeared. He said, in Avanti Desh, which is today's Ujjain, in Avanti Desh, there was one king who was born, whose name was Indradumna. And he was such a king that he was very great, pure devotee of the Lord. He had his kingdom managed by him such a wonderful way, there was no need for him to day-to-day management. Everything was running so beautifully by his particular intelligence and prowess that all the time he only spent in meditating and hearing of the Lord. What usual activity in the assembly was sages coming and narrating the story of the Lord, and all the ministry, everybody is sitting and listening to the stories of the Lord. And the whole kingdom is running, going on very beautifully. All the crops are coming. Night time, the rains are falling. Everything is abundant. Nobody is in dearth of anything. There is no theft. There is no sinful activities. Such kind of situation, by the power of the pure devotion of King Indradumna, was experienced by the people that time. But the king was still morose. He was thinking, "I want to see the Lord. I want to see the Lord. But till now, I have not seen him. I feel my life is a waste, and life is going to end soon." So he was crying. He was addressing him, the sages, that, "Please, any one of you can guide me. How can I see the Lord?" At that time, one sage came. And he said, "I have just come from Nilachal Dham. I have just taken darshan of Neela Madhava." And there was a garland on that sage around his neck. And when he entered, the fragrance of the garland filled the whole assembly. He offered the garland to the king, and king, overwhelmed and fainted, came back to consciousness and asked, "Please tell me how to achieve that dham." So the king, sage explained how to reach there. So at that moment of time, there was one brother of the chief minister of King Indradumna. His name was Vidyapati. He was a Brahmin. So he said, "I will go as per the guidance and map led by this sage. I will visit that place. Once I locate that place, then I will take you also, my dear king." So king gave permission. This Vidyapati left and traveled long distance and finally reached Nilachal Dham. There he met one person called Daitapati. His name was Vishwavasu. He was from a lower caste called Shabara, and he was king of Shabara, chief of Shabaras. And he went to his house being thirsty. The daughter of that person gave water to him. He drank the water. They had interaction. He had some queries. And as a guest, he stayed there. And he saw amazingly that the Vishwavasu would disappear in the night Something like our 9 o'clock, after 9 o'clock. You know, when we go to sleep, he would disappear. And he would come back with fragrant garlands and most tasty, unbelievable food items with him. Smeared with, you know, chandan and aguru and very scented things. And that garland which he would bring will be so fragrant actually. So he would ask. In the course of time, he got married with his daughter. Before that also he was asking, but there was no answer, where is he going? After getting married with his wife, that daughter of Vishwavasu, he was son-in-law. So he asked, tell me where your father is going. That time she revealed to him that he goes to the mountain, Nilamadhav, Nilachal Parvat. And there he worships Nilamadhav in the night, very secretly. And he comes back with the Mahaprasadam. And when he goes there, daytime the demigods are worshipping. So he receives the Mahaprasad which demigods offer. And he brings them and he worships in the whole night and he comes back in the morning where demigods take over. So he expresses desire to his father-in-law, I want to go there. I have come on the mission from King Indradumna. So he said, no, I will not take you because I have heard a Bhavishyavani that a king would come and when the king would come, the Lord would disappear. So I will not take you to Nilamadhav because I know you are the person coming from king. The history is going to come. Whatever prediction is going to come true now. But he was insisting. He said, okay, I will take you blindfold. So you will not know the road, how to go yourself. But the daughter and his wife, daughter of Vishwavasu, gave him mustard seeds and put it in this dhoti and told him, they decided that when my father will take you blindfold over the mountain, you go on throwing some mustard seeds on the way. So in the course of time, when the rains come, the mustard seeds will grow into mustard crop and there will be yellow flowers paving your way. So when father doesn't take you, you can go on your own. So he went on pouring and father-in-law took him all the way in the night and removed his blindfold and he saw the beautiful darshan in the night, effulgent darshan as if it was day in the middle of the night. And that garland and the prasadam, everything was offered to him. And Vidyapati felt satisfied that the purpose of his coming all the way was fulfilled. He came down next morning and he told his wife, daughter of Vishwavasu, that I am going to the king and I have to bring the king back. So he left. He came back to the kingdom and told his king, I am fortunate enough to locate where Lord Nilamadhav is and I have also intelligently put the mustard seeds which will grow in the course of time. By the time you reach there, please come. And can you imagine? We will feel that king will take some few entourage and leave. But as soon as he heard, the whole Avanti Desh, all people of other Avanti Desh packed up their things and they started walking with the Lord, walking with their king. This is very unusual. This happened also when Lord Ram left for Vanvas. You know, Ayodhya Vasis said, wherever you are there, Ayodhya is there. And where you are not there, that is a forest. So why would we want to live in the forest? We want to live in Ayodhya with you. If you are living in Ayodhya, living in the forest, that becomes Ayodhya. So we will prefer living with you in forest as if Ayodhya. This is the second time it happened. So this time with great love, everybody left. And the king took millions of cows and hundreds of Brahmins and soldiers and every single thing he took and he moved. And then what happened? He came to Bhubaneswar. The story of Bhubaneswar is like this. Small story, I'll not go in details. It's given in Bhagavatam also, part of it. Sati, daughter of Daksha, married Shiva. And Shiva was really detached. He didn't have a house also. And everybody would criticize Lord Shiva and Parvati also. What kind of husband do you have? No house, no job, no business, nothing. So she would always tell her husband, please have at least a house. She said, why do you need a house? You need Lord's name and his Lord's Seva. Everything is there. But still, because of lot of social pressure, finally, Shiva built Kashi. It's called Banaras or Varanasi. And it is explained, of course, we'll not go into that. In Puranas, the glory of Kashi is described. How glorious Kashi was. How it was envied by all demigods. How it was superfluous to any other material creation, although it was in the material world. And then they started staying there. But even that did not attract Lord Shiva. He one day offered it to the king of Kashi and he again went back to Kailash. And the king of Kashi stayed there, worshipping Lord Shiva, making it as a kingdom of Lord Shiva. Worshipping Lord Shiva as the center of the deity of the whole country of that Pradesh. And then gradually, you know, generations passed and Paundraka became the king of Kashi, of that area. And there was also another king of Kashi, and Paundraka also was there. And Kashirao was close friend to Paundraka. And Paundraka thought he was Supreme Lord himself. And he challenged Krishna that you are bogus Krishna. You are carrying the insignia of Chakra and other Shankha Chakra Padma Gada. You are a bogus one. I am the real one. He had put up two artificial arms holding council and everything. How funny it must be, no? Somebody has put artificial arms and acting as Krishna with lotus flower and everything. So he challenged Krishna with a letter. Please come forward and surrender all these four insignias. I give you opportunity to save your life and forgive you also. So they met in the battlefield. And Krishna said, take. And he released his chakra. And the chakra went and chopped the head of Paundraka. And this Paundraka was killed. But accompanying was Kashiraj as a friend. And Kashiraj, when he went for the war with Paundraka to fight against Krishna, he had declared boldly that I will bring the head of the enemy, that is Krishna. I will come victorious and bring the head of Krishna with me. So everybody was very happy, bidding him goodbye. So what Krishna did, when he killed Paundraka, he also shot an arrow and chopped the head of Kashiraj and purposefully shot another arrow which took the head all the way to Kashi. And the head fell inside the boundary of Kashi, and all the kingdom people come running there, knowing that, oh, our king has fulfilled his word. He has sent the chopped off head of the enemy. They went close and saw it was the head of their own king only. So they were very morose. At that time, Sudakshin, the son of the Kashi Raj, had not gone for the war. Father said, why you trouble? You enjoy yourself, worship Lord Shiva and be happy. I will go and do the needful and come. So Sudakshin became very alarmed. Oh, my father is killed. So he started worshipping Lord Shiva. And he pleased Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva appeared. And Lord Shiva advised him. First he said that, you please come and let me come with you and fight with Krishna. Go with you. Lord Shiva said, don't worry, you perform tantric yajna. And one great demon will come, whose name is Dakshinagni. And he will do the needful. And when he will go and attack Dwarka, Sri Krishna, my ganas and my sena will accompany, I also will accompany. So what happened? At that time, Sudakshin performed the tantric yajna and created a demon. And ordered that demon, go and destroy Dwarka and Krishna and everybody. So he went. From the place he started went burning only. Everything was burning, entered Dwarka also burning. Everybody is loudly crying, hi. At that time Krishna, Dwarkadish was playing chess with Rukmini. And everybody was shouting, please save us, Trahimam. At that time Krishna just turned and saw and understood that Dakshinagni is coming. He called Sudarshan Chakra and told him, Sudarshan, take care of this. And he again started playing chess with Rukmini. And Sudarshan Chakra went and had a great fight. Of course, we'll not go in details of the fight. It was a great fight. And he made Dakshinagni recede. Dakshinagni was like a blazing fire. He was naked in the body. He had Trishul in his hand, red eyes and red jatas. He was very fearsome, burning everything. But he was made to recede behind and run behind. He receded behind all the way to his place, Kashi. Chakra went on chasing him and killed Dakshinagni. Before that, Dakshinagni, because it was tantric creation, there's a rule in tantric creation. If tantric creation demon cannot kill the Lakshya, that is the target, then tantric creation will go and kill the creator of the tantric creator. You got the point? He was created to destroy Krishna. He could not destroy Krishna, so he had to go and destroy the creator of himself. So whom he killed? He went and killed Sudakshin only, the son of Kashiraj. And then he was killed by Sudarshan Chakra. And Sudarshan Chakra did not stop there. Chakra went and burnt the whole Kashi to ashes. All the glory of Kashi was burnt to ashes. At that time, Lord Shiva also was accompanying Dakshinagni and Ganas and all Bhuta Pritas were also accompanying. So then Chakra started chasing Lord Shiva. And then Shiva came running at the feet of Lord Krishna in Dwarka. And he said, my Lord, please forgive me. I am in too much of association of demons and my consciousness is totally fallen and degraded. I need your association, my Lord. Please grant me association at your own lotus feet, wherever you are. At that time, Lord gave blessing to Lord Shiva. He said that, I stay in Shankha Kshetra as Lord Nilamadava. That is my eternal home. And just next to that is one beautiful forest called Ekamravan. And then Lord goes on glorifying the glories of Ekamravan. He says, there you reside. And I will give you another boon that you will only get my prasadam as your maintenance. The food will be offered to me and will be offered to you in turn. So you will be accepting my prasadam, and your prasadam will be a double powerful prasadam, my prasad plus your prasadam. And all over the world people will be able to take your prasadam, although you are a demigod, because it is my prasadam. And that Lord, Lord Shiva, who resided in Ekamravan, that place is called Bhubaneswar. That's how Bhubaneswar was created. And Lord Shiva resided there. Today also if you go to Bhubaneswar, there are two kinds of Shivlingas. One kind of Shivlinga which comes above is like a parabolic growth. Another Shivlinga is like, you can go to Trambakeshwar also, it's a hollow Shivlinga. So Trambakeshwar is hollow and Bhubaneswar also is hollow. But if you go to Bhubaneswar, you'll see it is a parabolic thing coming up from the platform. So then I asked the pujari, he said, that is Shaligram Shila, covering the hollow of Bhubaneswar Mahadev. And we offer all the bhoga to Lord Krishna by chanting Gopala Mantra. And then we chant Lord Shiva Mantra to accept that Mahaprasad of Shaligram Shila. Then Lord Shiva accepts Bhubaneswar Mahadev, and then we get as double Mahaprasadam. And he also said that whoever will drink the Abhishekam water of yourself will be offered to me first and then going to you. So whoever will drink the water will go back to Godhead. That also benediction Lord Krishna gave to Lord Shiva. So this is Bhubaneswar, just next to Sri Kshetra, Purushottam Kshetra. So now, this is what I told you about Bhubaneswar. Indradumna came to Bhubaneswar and worshipped Lord Shiva. After worshipping Lord Shiva told, gave darshan to Indradumna and told him, please proceed further and you will attain the darshan of the Lord for which you are going. Then he disappeared from the vision of Indradumna, and that time Narad Muni appeared there. Narad Muni appeared and I was accompanying right from Avanti. I forgot to tell you, from Avanti Desh, Narad Muni was accompanying Indradumna. Because Brahma and Yamraj were instructed by Lakshmi Devi that when I will appear, we will appear in the next millennium, in the next Parardha rather. It was explained to Yama and Brahmadev that in the first 50 years of Brahma, your life, we will be living here in the material world as Lakshmi Nilamadava. That is called Parardha, that is 50 years, Brahma's 50 years. In the next Parardha, in the next 50 years of your life, when it begins, the day one of the next Parardha, we will disappear as Lakshmi and Nilamadhav and we will appear as Lord Jagannath. And how I will appear, Lakshmi Devi is now explaining to Brahma and Yama. But also instructs that when I will appear, you please help Indradumna to establish me in the same place. That's how, on the instruction of Brahmaji, Narad Muni is accompanying. And Narad Muni also is a witness of the pastime, how Lord appeared at the outside of the door of the palace of Dwarka. He knew the whole history, how the Lord is coming, so for double purpose he had come. So when he worshipped Bhubaneswar, Narad Muni also was there. He disappeared, Lord Shiva disappeared from the vision of Indradumna, and he only appeared to Narad Muni for some time. And one explanation says that that time Lord Shiva gave him one deity of Narasimha and told Narad Muni to tell Indradumna to establish Narasimha Bhagwan in Purushottam Kshetra and perform 100 Ashwamedha Yajnas. At the end of the 100 Ashwamedha Yajnas, Lord will appear by his merciful appearance. This is one explanation. And second explanation is that Lord Shiva told Narad Muni, tell Indradumna to perform 100 Ashwamedha Yajnas. At the end of 100 Ashwamedha Yajnas, Lord will appear. So they went to, they entered the Sri Kshetra, Purushottam Kshetra, and Indradumna established a big city over there. He built many palaces, many homes, many huts, established Brahmins, established ministers, established people everywhere. And he put cows in one place, and that place became Indradhanu Sarovar later on. Because of the cow's pressure, the earth went down, and nice big kunda was created. Anyway, so one explanation is that he performed 999 Ashwamedh Yajnas. And when 1000th Ashwamedh Yajna was being performed, at that time one explanation says that one deity of Narsingdev appeared from the Yajna Kunda. And that was established by Indradhumna nearby. That Narsimha deity was very ugra, unbearable, effulgence and krodha was there. Then he was worshipped and pacified, he became Shanta. So the deity which is there now is ugra from one side and Shanta from other side. And the Shanta side is available to the darshan of the pilgrims. And ugra side it is said, no human being on earth can bear the tej of ugra, that person will die. So ugra darshan, that is like if I am sitting here, this one is Shanta and behind is ugra darshan. Only demigods and higher devotees can take the darshan. Today also if you go, the Shanta darshan is in front. So thus, when Indradhumna, anyway, whatever the story is true, whether the murti was given to Narad Muni directly, it was established, or it appeared from Yogyakunda, in both cases it was established there, it had these two forms, Ugra and Shanta. And when 1000th Ashwamedh Yagra was performed, the current king of that place, who welcomed Indradhumna and helped him to establish Yogyakunda and Yajnashala and Yajna city, he came running and told King Indradhumna that in ocean I see a beautiful effulgent wooden log has appeared. And so much of fragrance is coming from ocean. It is filling all the city of this place. So king sent people and they came running to the ocean and they saw in the middle of the ocean a huge daru, that is a wood, as a hair of Lord Vishnu had appeared. It created such fragrance, such divine light. Then the king also followed and had darshan, offered dandavats on the bank of the ocean. And then many, many hundreds of elephants he attached and created a big chariot to pick up that wood log. And all that chariot went into the ocean and that big wooden log was picked up and put on the chariot and brought back. And amazingly, where all these activities took place, today that place is called as Gundicha Mandir. Or today that place is called Gupta Vrindavan. That is the place where he established his city. His queen and he himself worshipped the Lord, performed the yajnas, created mansions for all the sadhus. And from the ocean, the wooden log was brought to the same place. And when the wooden logs were brought to the same place of yajna, one mysterious man appeared. He was Vishwakarma, the sculptor of demigods. He came as an old man, but he was a very unusual looking, effulgent personality. He came to the king. The king was wondering, how will I carve the deity? Such a big divine log of wood. Who would be the qualified person? At that time only this person entered. He said, I am entitled to make sculpture of this murti. But I have one condition. I will not like to be disturbed by anybody. I will be in locked doors. And the day you disturb me or knock my door, I will be gone. And whatever stage the murti is, that will be your karma, not my karma. So king said, it's very simple. My difficulty was who will carve the murti and you already appeared and all conditions are agreeable. Please enter. And nice prayogshala was made. That wooden log was kept inside. All the doors were locked. And then they were waiting that when the deity will be ready. Every day king and kim will come and go around the prayogshala which is locked from all sides. But you know, you expect some sound, na? Some chiseling sound, some breaking sound, some carpenters are working in your house, how difficult it is to stay in the same house. You want to run away. So much sound is there of cutting and sizzling and breaking and hammering the nails and everything. But there was no sound at all. And the king came one day and his queen pacified him. Anyway, the person has said that he will make the deity and give it to you. We'll go back and one day, second day, third day, they will put the food will be there only. So 15 days passed and the queen Gundicha Devi and king Indradhumna became very restless. They thought that with such an old man, he is not even eating any food, all the food is lying outside, no sound inside. Has he left his body? Has he died inside? And if he has died inside, it will be sin on us because we have not taken care of him. So their anxiety became at the peak. And that time they broke the door open and they went inside. And lo and behold, there was no old man inside. As he had promised, he had gone. And the murtis were there half done. You can see the palms are still to be carved and the legs are still to be carved. It's a big, big wooden log into three pieces. One wooden log was broken into three pieces and three were in a process. You can see they were in the process of getting ready. Half done murtis. And again, when the king heard this news and saw the half done murtis, he fainted. One thing I forgot to mention to you. As soon as the king entered Shankha Kshetra Jagannath Puri, Purushottam Kshetra, the local king came and told that there was a big storm just before you arrived and Lord Nilmada was up, disappeared. So the king fainted there. At that time Narad Muni consoled him and said, no, I have been told by Lord Shiva that you have to perform 100 Ashwamedh Yajnas and Lord will appear again, don't worry. So with new enthusiasm he had performed 100 Ashwamedh Yajnas. Now the Lord appeared in the form of Daru Brahma and half done murtis, because of his impatience, half done murtis appearing now, again he fainted. At that time again Narad Muni consoled him. And what story I told you in the beginning of Dwarka, Lord Krishna Balram Subhadra at the outside of the door of the palace, that story Narad Muni narrated to Raja Indradumna and said, these are not half done murti, this is complete murti. This is the way I saw them. Outside the door of the palace of Dwarka. So please do not worry. This is not half done. This is the way Lord wanted to appear. And that was like solace to Indradumna's heart. In all the throughout the process, you can understand, Indradumna was expressing the great devotion that he had. All the story tells the heart of Indradumna, how eager he was to have the Lord. And then with the permission of Narad Muni, he built a big temple there. What you see today. And when the time came to install, Narad Muni said ki we should get Brahmadev to install as a chief Purohit. So that time very humbly he requested Narad Muni, can I also come with you to Brahmaloka to request Brahma to come and participate as a chief Purohit? So very kindly Narad Muni agreed and they both set to go on Yamaloka, on Brahmaloka. And all of you know, reaching Brahmaloka means many, many hundreds of generations passed on earth. And when we reached Brahmaloka, hundreds of generations have passed. And Brahmadev was in some prayer, which took few minutes of Brahmaloka. In that few minutes also, many hundreds of generations passed. And Brahmaji came out saying, excuse me, I was in a prayer, so please forgive me. What is the request? So Narad Muni said, Lord has appeared in Dvitiya Parardha of your life. You have to come down and see Purohit to establish him, to install him. So Brahmaji accepted, and on his swan, these three personalities rided and they came down to earth. In the journey also, many hundred generations passed. You can imagine, the whole thing was changed. And they came down, and the temple which was built, many storms had come and gone, and more than half the temple was covered by sand, what he had created, and only half the temple was above the ground. So he came down, and he went to the place where deities manifested, which was that time possessed by the current king, because it was his property. So this king came up and started taking the deities away, so that current king attacked him, knowing that somebody has come from outside to take away our property, our lord. So that time one crow came, whose name was Kakabhushundi. There are 8 Chiranjeevis in this whole material creation, like Ashwatthama, like Hanumanji. One of the Chiranjeevi is crow. There's a great sage in the form of a crow called Kakabhushundi. He sat on that tree where Lord appeared. And he narrated to the new king, the current king, the whole story, what has happened. And told him, this is your ancestor, your Purvaja. Millions of generations have gone. But now he is your worshipable ancestor. Please do not attack him. He is your master. That time the king surrendered to him and worshipped him. And said, what is your desire? He said, I want to establish Lord Jagannath Baldev Subhadra in the temple. So the first Rath Yatra took place from the place of Gundicha Mandir. That's called Vedi, and on the Vedi where Lord was created by Vishwakarma. From there on the chariot, the deities were taken to the main temple where Lord is residing today. And at that time, Lord Brahma's Paurohitya in his chief Paurohit position, the deities were installed. At that time, Lord told, before going to the temple, in the years of Indradumna, I want you to bathe me. So in Gundicha temple in the Vedi, which is there and today also there, Lord had received his first bath. First public bath with cold water from sunrise to sunset. And that goes on, that Lord fell sick because of that. But anyway, that time Lord took bath and he was established. And thus King Indradumna, everybody disappeared. He was very happy to achieve the ultimate perfection of life and he disappeared. But the significant to note, the thing to note is that what temple we see today is also less than half the size of temple what you see. The British kingdom, when it was there, they were ruling us. The current viceroy that time, he wanted to dig the whole temple. And when he went to dig the whole temple, he heard such horrible sounds from whatever he peeped in that he ordered everybody that no one should ever attempt to dig the, what do you call, the underparts of Jagannath temple at all. It is also explained that a lot of wealth is stored in that, under the hillock. That is called Neel Madhav. Neel Parvat, Neelachal, on which Lord Jagannath's deity was installed. And Rohini Kunda also is there only. And there is a Kalpavat, Akshayvat, next to the Rohini Kunda, where every leaf, there is Nivas of Lord Narayan. And that tree never gets destroyed when Pralay comes. And Rohini Kunda also remains there only. Today the Rohini Kunda is concealed. It's not because people came to know in Kali Yuga people are going to be very sinful and they'll just come and touch the water and get liberated. So it was concealed by the will of the Lord. And what we see today is another well which they claim to be as Rohini Kunda water and they give you and take some money from you. It is hidden under the Akshay Vat, the big Narayan Vat which is there. Under that the real Rohini Kunda is hidden there. So thus, I explained to you the appearance of Lord Jagannath and how he was established. Let me see how much time is there and how much I can cover. Okay. So I was also told about, to describe about the current situation. When the Lord gets bathed on Jyeshtha Purnima, so the appearance day of Lord Jagannath is Jyeshtha Purnima, on which day he was given bath. And mysteriously enough, Lord gets sick after taking bath with cold water. He has fever. And 15 days, because he has high fever, the pujaris close the door and they give him only jadi booti, kashaya and herbal drinks and some diet food only. Lord has high fever. There is one doctor in our association, a great devotee of the Lord, especially in Vishnu forms, Badrinath and Ranganath and Tirupati Balaji and all. So he came to us in Jagannath Puri one time. When this period was going on, called Anavasara. Anavasara is a period where the Lord's darshan is closed because of having fever. And he has some nice tricks. He can go inside and meet the pujaris. Always he has got some knack to go. Some siddhi he has got. He can always make friends with pujaris. So pujaris took him inside. It was night time in the closure period. And the pujari said, "Oh, you are a doctor, please see our patient, he has got high fever." So he went inside and in a very funny, light, joking mood, he touched the Lord. As soon as he touched the Lord, he just took his hand back. It was almost burnt. His hand was, body was burning hot and he could not bear the touch of the Lord. And he was so ecstatic after having that experience. In the middle of the night, 1:30 a.m., he ran from the temple Garbhagriha straight to the Birla house near the ocean, which is about 2-3 kilometers in the middle of the night, and knocked the door of Guru Maharaj, Radhanath Swami. "Maharaj, wake up, Maharaj, wake up." So the door was open. He said, "What happened?" He said, "Maharaj, I just touched Lord Jagannath. His body is burning hot. I thought it was a joke. It was a part of the story. But I now understand it is not a story. It is a truth." He was very excited. He could not sleep the whole night. And then the 15 days, every day he was going, and afterwards, at the end of the 15 days, the pujaris told, "Now our Lord is fine. Now you can touch and see." So he was like wondering, what will happen now? Will I get the jhatka again or will I, what I will see? This time he touched, it was cold. It was normal. So he had complete faith. Now you tell me that people may say it's all mythological story, It's all to, you know, entertain children. It's all mythological creation of some saintly people to entertain people. But somebody who experiences himself personally, how it can mythology for him? It's a reality for him. And we, by the dint of power of faith given by great sages and Guru Maharaj to us, we believe that it's a fact. So this is how the Lord Jagannath, very mystical Lord. Then what happens? Then he gets well after 15 days. And you know, when you are having fever and you are consigned in the closed doors, you get bored, you want to go out. So he decides to go on Rath Yatra. Now we come to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's situation. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared 550 years back. He appeared in Navadvip Dham. He lived 24 years there. He took sannyas and he went to Jagannath Puri. And from there he had 6 years of tours in search of his brother. And he lived 18 years again back in Jagannath Puri. So when Lord came back to Jagannath Puri after his 6 years of tour, he decided to participate in Rath Yatra festival of the Lord. Now Rath Yatra festival of the Lord is a very unique festival. Again, this brief story is like this, that Brijvasis never left Vrindavan because it was not the desire of Krishna for them to leave Vrindavan and meet him. Although they were very close sometimes in Mathura, little far from there in Dwarka, but always approachable areas. But at his age of 125, at the beginning of Mahabharata war, the Lord sent a message to all the gopis that, you please come to Kurukshetra. I am going to take bath in the holy ponds on this solar eclipse day, and you all come to meet me there just before the war. So all the Brijvasis, gopis went there. And they were expecting the Lord to be in the 10 years of age, the way he has left from there. That was their memory, that was the image in the heart of gopis. So they were contemplating on that memory, ki we will meet our Vrindavan Krishna. But they saw King Krishna with all the ornaments, all the queens, all the entourage, all the Rajdanda insignia, and the soldiers guarding back and forth and front and back, all glory, complete glory, and far from their eyesight was Krishna in the last chariot. All the queens had already appeared there. So they were very intimidated. They could not bear the opulence of the city or of the King Krishna. Being village girls, they tried to go ahead, but all the entourage and the security, everybody, they just could not penetrate. So they were utterly helpless. Although they saw their beloved, they were utterly helpless. They could not relate also to that Krishna. They were telling him, why are you wearing these clothes of kingly opulence? Give up all this kingly opulence. Remove your crown. Give up this chariot. Remove all your shoes. Remove all the ornaments. Just wear forest flowers. Just pick up your flute and start playing, and we'll go back to Vrindavan and have Raslila again. Let us herd the cows. Let us drink the cow milk and come back and steal the butter again. All this was going on in the mind in agony. They could not relate to Krishna after seeing him so many years in that particular form, which they did not memorize in their hearts. So what they did, they in their minds of minds took up ropes, tied to Krishna's chariot, and pulled their chariot with their own force and hands back to Vrindavan. So original Rath Yatra took place in the heart of gopis. It did not happen anywhere externally. It was their emotional, highly emotional, upsurged situation in which they wanted Krishna to come back, but they could not bring him physically back. So they pulled him in the heart and brought the chariot in the heart, which was like Vrindavan. And that concept is revealed as the manifest Rath Yatra, what we explain, what we experience here. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to Jagannath Puri and wanted to participate in that divine pastime in which gopis pulled Krishna from Kurukshetra to Vrindavan. So current temple of Jagannath Puri is representing Kurukshetra or Dwarka. And where Lord goes is representing Vrindavan, where people serve him in Vrindavan Bhav. It's called Gupta Vrindavan. And again, some small story is that Gundicha Devi was a great devotee of the Lord. King Indradumna was so satisfied with all the story and appearance of the Lord, he felt completely kritarth. He felt, I don't want to have a son also, because I don't want to claim any property or any descendants or anything. And Gundicha was very upset. He said, oh, I will not have a son. Who will do our Shraddha? So the Lord said, I will become your son. and I will perform your Shraddha. And I also promise that I will come once in a year for a few days and stay in your place which you have created. I will live here for 7 days and enjoy Vrindavan Bhav, what you have created here. So the Lord goes and enjoys Vrindavan Bhav for 7 days. Everybody cooks in the form of Braj Bhav there. So Jagannath Prasad is supposed to be extremely tasty, extraordinarily powerful, but even in that situation, the prasadam that is offered, food that is offered in Gundicha for the 7 days, is supposed to be millions and more powerful spiritually than the throughout the year prasadam. So Lord went to Gundicha Mandir and he thought, tomorrow the Lord is going to come here. It was the previous day of Rath Yatra, that means the day of Nitrotsav. When the Lord is now being decorated, doing makeup and nice, getting freshened up and ready to go out, the previous day he is there, he has come down one step from his Vedi, like from here to down. And all the devotees who have come to see him after 15 days of separation, they are so happy to see him, he is so happy to see them. And he is embracing everybody. At that time, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu reached Gundicha Mandir, knowing that tomorrow he will come on his chariot to stay here for next 7 days. He said, we all devotees should clean this temple to make the Lord very comfortable in a very clean place. So he himself led the whole activity of cleansing. And in Madhya Lila, there is a great description of how Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu led the whole party, brought water from Indradhanu Sarovar, and the devotees crashed to each other. So that is called as, some name is there, Bhanda Bhanga Kshetra, where they were hurrying up with wooden earthen pots and they dashed each other and so many pots of water broke there near the Narasimha temple. So there were millions of pots and millions of devotees. They were all lining up to Indradhanu Sarovar and bringing water from them in a row and giving Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also and cleansing themselves also. And Lord first swept the whole temple of Gundicha, and the Lord's collection of heap of dust was highest than everybody else's collection of dust. There were also small, small mountains. Then they were cleared. And after that, Lord asked them to bring water. And everybody chanted only Hari Hari. What they chanted?
Hari
Hari.
Hari,
Hari.
Hari.
No other words were used. Give me bucket, give me broom, give me cloth, give me water. Nothing was said. Only Hari Hari. And all Hari Hari conveyed everything what you wanted. And that's how finally the Lord cleansed and cleansed, and finally, at the epitome of all this service, it was a great, what you call, managerial activity. You can learn at least 10 to 15 managerial principles in the activity of Gundicha Marjan. The way it was organized, the way everybody cooperated, the way everybody, there was no confusion in the activities, how they cooperated one after another in the activity of sweeping first, then washing with the water, and the Lord cleaned the floor, Lord cleaned the walls, Lord cleaned the ceilings. Finally, Lord climbed the Vedi on which the deity was going to come next day. Lord Jagannath would appear on the next day on that Vedi. Lord poured water on that and that was cleansed. And finally, Lord picked up his pitambar, his dhoti, yellow dhoti, the divine celestial celebrated cloth of the Lord, the most merciful cloth of the Lord. Lord used that very cloth to clean and mop the platform where Lord Jagannath was going to reside, come and reside next 7 days. That was the highlight of this thing. He made it spick and span. Everybody could see their faces in the walls and the floors. Such cleanliness was created. And acharyas explain that this activity of cleansing of Gundicha Mandir is like cleansing our heart. Our heart is dirty with so many anarthas, unwanted situations of anger, greed, lust, pride, envy. So many things are there in the heart. With that, we cannot invite the Lord to reside in the heart. Although He is residing, but He is unmanifest. We are not feeling His presence because of our dirtiness inside. So the Lord performed, organized and exhibited this wonderful activity of Gundicha cleansing just to show that we need to clean our heart by cleaning the temple of the Lord. When we clean the temple of the Lord, our heart is getting cleaned of all anarthas. When we chant Hari Hari Hare Krishna and clean and sweep the floor of the Lord temple, our heart gets cleaned. So it becomes an eligible place for Lord to come and reside. At the same time, our heart becomes eligible or a qualified place to have Lord seated in the heart on the throne of our heart. So Lord did this, and that time some devotees threw water on the feet of the Lord. Lord externally showed anger. Then that person who threw water on the feet of the Lord, the water came back after cleansing the feet of the Lord. The person took and drank it. And the Lord further showed anger. And the devotee, you know, dared to do it two more times. And the Lord showed real anger, although inside he was very happy, extremely happy. But externally he called Swarup Damodar, but they were Bengali devotees. He called Swarup Damodar, "Hey Swarup, these Bengali devotees are uncultured. They don't know how to treat a devotee. I am a devotee of the Lord and we should not allow our feet to be washed, but they have done it three times. Please go and train your Bengali devotees." And Prabhupada writes in purport very nicely, that day Lalita Devi, in the form of Swarup Damodar Goswami, accepted all the Bengali Vaishnavas under her training. That means all of us are under the shelter of Lalita Devi, who has accepted us as her children and is training us for being, you know, getting ready to be acceptable by the Lord. So all this pastime took place, and then Lord took bath, and then he also went to the Narasimha Mandir. There he danced, and there Advaita Acharya's son danced. He fainted. I'm telling you in short. He went to, after cleaning the temple of Lord Gundicha, he went to Narasimha temple, which I told you earlier. And there, after cleansing, everybody danced like ecstasy. Lord went in ecstasy. Then Advaita Acharya danced. His son came and danced, but his son fainted. And everybody was wondering whether he's alive or dead, but actually he was dead. He actually died in the kirtan. Then they called Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and took him on his lap and said, "Gopal, wake up, Gopal, wake up." He chanted Narasimha mantras in his ears. Everyone chanted Narasimha mantras. It is said that the loud sound of Narasimha mantra appeared to crack the borders of universe, the shells of universe. Such loud chanting of Narasimha mantras were done. And then Lord said, "Gopal, wake up." And Gopal woke up. And he was alive again. He danced and everybody went back home. That place is still there. So Jagannathpur is very, very, very unique place. Huh? I will now, a lot of things are there, but I'll tell you in short, few things. There are five Lord Shiva's forms called Pancha Shiva. And there are five water reservoirs called Pancha Tirthas. It is said that Jagannath Puri Darshan is not complete till you visit five Shivas and five Tirthas. I'll just enumerate them. One is Yameshwar Mahadev. One is Lokanath Mahadev. Third is Kapala Mochana Mahadev. Fourth, I already told you, Markandeshwar Mahadev. And fifth is Nilakanteshwar Mahadev. Nilakanteshwar Mahadev is at Indradhumna Sarovar. Yameshwar is near Tota Gopinath area. Lokanath Mahadev is that side of the ocean near the temple. And Panchatirthas are the Sarovar of Markandeshwar Mahadev, Markandeshwar Sarovar, Shweta Ganga where Sarvam Bhattacharya lived and Ganga Devi appeared there. There are many, many pastimes of Ganga Devi there. Rohini Kunda is third Tirtha, which is now hidden under the Kalpavriksha. Mahodadhi is the ocean. Unlimited there are stories of ocean of Jagannath Puri. Lord has taken bath there. Lord has appeared over there in Daru Brahma fashion. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was lost unconscious in the water in the fisherman's net there. Haridas Thakur Samadhi was built at the bank of the ocean and he was bathed in the ocean. There are unlimited stories why that ocean is so auspicious. And one common reason is all the holy rivers come in that ocean. So it's doubly, triply and 100 times more auspicious. And the last is Indradhumna Sarovar. So Markandeya Sarovar, Shweta Ganga, Rohini Kunda, Mahodadi, the ocean and Indradhumna Sarovar are the five tirthas. When we visit this five tirthas, five Shiva, we will not come back in the world to take birth again. This is the glory of Lord Jagannath Dham. And I will tell you now, the 10 or 15 unbelievable things about Lord Jagannath Dham. Hare Krishna. Amazing things of Jagannath Puri. The flag of Jagannath Puri is always moving in the opposite direction of the air. Generally, when the air comes and the flag is there, the flag will move in the direction of the air, the way the air is going. But in Jagannath Puri, exactly at the opposite direction of the air, the flag is waving always. Number two, no birds are ever seen crossing over the shikhar of the Jagannath temple. They will go on sides like this. You have to go and observe this very nicely. In some building you have to go and see how the birds are flying. They are never flying over the Shikharam of the Mandir. Wherever you go, whichever place you go, when you go to a monument or a structure, at sunrise there is a shadow which is very long. Then the sun goes up, and when the sun goes on the other side, the shadow goes on the other side, right? If you go in sunrise to sunset time and spend your whole time and one day in Jagannath Puri temple, you will not see any shadow of any Shikharam of the temple on the ground. And I took yatra there many times, and I have taken devotees and showed them in the middle of the day, in half the day, or 3 o'clock, or the sunset time, no time any shadow of the, what do you call that, Mukut, Shikharam, what is it called? Domes. There is no shadow of domes ever on the floor of Jagannath Puri temple. The food is, when it is cooked, is cooked in earthen pots. Nowhere in the world you will see that Lord is offered in the pots of earthen pots. We cook and we offer in some katoris and nice plate and is offered to Lord. But Jagannath Puri, whatever pot the whole thing is cooked, that whole thing goes on the altar of the Lord. And each pot is having sometimes 50-100 kilos of rice and dal. But the system is, on the wooden chula, the wooden burner, there are 4 pots kept one over other. And scientifically, logically, you will expect the lower pot to get cooked first. But in Jagannath Puri, the 4th pot gets cooked first, then remove that, then the 3rd one cooks for a second, then the 2nd one cooks 3rd one, and the last one cooks the last. This is another mystery. There are about 600 such wooden burners, and each has 4 pots on one another. And always they take out the upper pot first, being cooked. It's another miracle. Although, like for example, every day 7,200 kilos of rice is cooked. I'm only telling one item to you, main item. There are many things are there, items are there. Lord eats Chappan Bhoga, 56 items in a day. Whenever they get ready, there's no fixed time. Every temple is a fixed time is there. Jagannath Puri, whenever things are ready, whichever items are ready, they are taken. And all together from sunrise to whatever time he takes rest in the middle of the night, only few hours a day he takes rest. Only 2 hours sometimes. From maybe 3 a.m. till 1 a.m. he keeps eating the food. And it keeps going. So, amount of item cooked is fixed. But people take food from 20,000 in number to few lakhs in number. Amount of food is cooked same. But the food never goes short. The prasadam is never short of people. Till the last person eats, there is food in the storehouse. Then the sea is of Jagannath Puri is known for very harsh sounds. The waves are quite big. I have experienced that. I am now much reduced in size. Before I was very big in size. Person like me was thrown a couple of feet in the sky and back on the ground. Such kind of waves come there. So big noise is there. But you walk in the temple of Jagannath, no sound is there. Because Lord one time called Jagannath, Hanumanji, and told that when I am talking to Lakshmi Devi, I get disturbed with the ocean sound. I don't want any sound. So, on the south door, Hanumanji went and stood there and gathered all sound vibration in his right ear. And his right eardrum got torn. So, he is called as Kanfata Hanuman. His right ear got completely destroyed. But he is capturing all the sound of the ocean in his right ear and doesn't allow any sound vibration of the ocean waves to come in the temple courtyard. So it's another miracle. Walk in the temple, first step, no sound. Then is the only Lord in the whole creation of the Lord who changes his body. Like we see Tirupati, we see Ranganath, they're always there only, they are not changing. But Jagannath, the big pastime will not go in now, but it's called Navakalevaram Leela, where Lord, when there is a Adhik Mas of Ashad in a particular year, when Ashad comes as Adhik Mas, Purushottam Mas, that year the Lord changes his body. Similarly, when he changes his body, they are burying his body in one smashan called as Koilo Vaikuntha. It's another miracle. Then no Lord would embrace. You always will see the Lord far away and you offer dandavats. But Lord Jagannath and Lord Vitthala from Pandharpur, they used to embrace the devotees. Now both are stopped. We have embraced the devotee, Lord Jagannath's body, very fortunately, many years back and many times also. Everywhere the pujaris cook for the Lord, offer the Lord, and then take the Mahaprasad. In Jagannath Puri, the pujaris come full stomach, nicely eaten prasadam, and then they come and cook the food of the Lord. There are no hard and fast rules in deity worship in Jagannath. The only Lord whose original main deities go on Rath Yatra. Everywhere the Utsav Murtis go on Rath Yatra. In South India, every day there is Rath Yatra. But Utsav Murtis go. Even Jagannath deities, Jagannath Balya Subhadra, have got 5 Utsav Murtis. One of them is Madan Mohana. But on Rath Yatra day, the original deities go on Rath Yatra and stay somewhere else for a couple of days. He is the only Lord where all over the world only Brahminical people worship him. Only strictly Brahminical people. But 36 different lower castes, including Brahminism, Brahmin also, but 36 lower caste people together worship the Lord Jagannath along with Brahmins. There is no Ekadashi fasting in Jagannath Puri. Although Lord Chaitanya fasted, so we also fast when we go there. But Jagannath Puri, Ekadashi Devi is tied upside down behind the west side of the temple. There's a special scripture in Jagannath Puri. Only the head pujari of Jagannath temple can access, read and follow. Nobody else can, even others cannot follow. And last is the most unique form of Lord in Mahabhav, in Vipralamba, separation from the Vrindavan Basis, is uniquely residing in Jagannath Puri. And simply by having darshan and simply by eating Mahaprasad, one can go back to Godhead. You have seen, if you go back after some days, when will be Netrotsav will be there. On the third will be Gundicha Marjan. All of you are requested to come and help in cleaning temple. And next day is Rath Yatra, but that evening there is Netrotsava. That day you will get first darshan on that day. You go and see that there is a red line in the eyes of Lord Jagannath. Inside, inner circle is red. Same with Balram also. What does that signify? When mother sees a child, mother can see her child for 24 hours, 48 hours, 72 hours in a row without getting bored. If somebody else's child, you will get bored in 1 minute and give back the child. But mother will keep looking at the child without blinking eyes also. But when the mother is observing the child with great love, if you see properly, if your wife is looking at your child, there's a red line comes in, red circle comes in the eyes out of love. When there is overwhelming love, unflinching love, the eyes give a reddish hue inside the white surface of the eyeball. That same red line is there in Jagannath's eye. Because Jagannath is looking at all of us with great love and affection. It is not only we see Lord Jagannath. When we see Lord Jagannath sees you. And then it is complete. So Jagannath is watching all his devotees who has come to see him with great love. That's why there is a lalima inside the eye of Lord Jagannath. Please see that and thank him for looking at us with great love and affection. Because of his glance, not by we looking at him, but he looking at us, there's a hope that we will go back to Godhead one day. He will bestow upon us the love that is required to be qualified to go back. So all this in nutshell is the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. If Srila Prabhupada was not there, who is Lord Jagannath, we will not know. What are his pastimes, we will not know. We will not ever participate in his leelas, in Rath Yatra, in other pastimes. So it is great mercy we have received without doing any tapasya, any hardships. It was his causeless mercy that he has introduced us to Jagannath Puri and Lord Jagannath. Let us take the full advantage without being lazy, without being shy, without being hesitant. Let us offer ourselves to Lord Jagannath. Let us accept the mercy of Narad Muni and Srila Prabhupada in our lives by accepting Lord Jagannath as our Lord and Master. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Thank you very much.